Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, keep our souls, oh God, and deliver us. Be pleased, oh Lord, to deliver us. Deliver us in your righteousness, oh God. Deliver us, oh God, out of the hand of the enemy, Father God. Deliver us from our persecutors, Father God. Deliver us out of the great waters, Father God. Deliver us from oppression, from the oppression of man, O God. Deliver us according to your word, Father God. Deliver our soul from lying lips and deceitful tongues in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from our enemies and hide us in the name of Jesus. Surround us with songs of deliverance, Father God. We thank you today. Command deliverances for our lives, O God. Deliver us from all our fears in Jesus' name. Deliver us from all our troubles in Jesus' name. Deliver us from those who hate us in Jesus' name. Deliver us from all of our distresses. Send your word and deliver us out of destruction, O God. In the name of Jesus, deliver our soul from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from falling in Jesus' name. We call upon the name of Jesus and we are delivered. Deliver us from the power of the lion. Through your knowledge, we are delivered. Through your wisdom, we are delivered. We receive miracles and deliverance for our lives in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We adore you. We thank you that you join us weekly on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. And Father God, we thank you for this time that we can spend with you, praising the Most High God, honoring you as Lord, reverencing you, O God, because you are the only true and living God. Nobody can compare to how great you are, how wonderful you are, how awesome you are, how magnificent you are. And Father, we can't even find enough words to describe your greatness, O God. And so, Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are Lord and Shepherd of our lives. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone with us today, everyone who will listen, to boys, to men, girls, to ladies. I thank you that we are fully armored, fully covered from head to toe. We have on the helmet of salvation, in the name of Jesus, the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girded about with truth. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of the Spirit in one hand and the shield of faith in the other hand. And I thank you, O God, that you are a rear guard. And so, Father God, we thank you for blessing your children today. Blessings, 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 following us, running us down, taking us over. We thank you that you are the God who load us up with benefits. So thank you for all those benefits you load us up with every day. Forgive us, Father God, we sin against you. You are the Most High God, and we are trusting in you today to see us through every situation that we have to face. In Jesus' name, I lift up the children today in our cities, oh God, and I thank you that our children are blessed and highly favored of you. And Father God, we thank you for holy angels of protection, warring angels around our children, oh God. We say that our children shall live and not die and declare your works, oh God. And Father God, we thank you for fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents, our extended families, Father God, knowing who you are, following you in obedience, oh God. And Father God, we thank you, that you won't ever leave us, neither will you forsake us. So we just thank you for your holy presence in Jesus' name. Hello, hello, hello. You're in the right place today. Yes, you dialed the right number. We have been waiting for you. We have an exciting show planned for you today to share with you what the Father has shared with us. So sit back, don't get too comfortable, pay attention so you don't miss the race. There is a race that's about to begin. I need you to listen to see if you are in the race. I pray you're in the race with us, the right race, and that you can win your race. As you get closer to the Lord, he will show you every step to take in your race. Christ will prepare for you will prepare you, your Kodamakashe, from on your mark, get ready, set, go, all the way to the finish line. Then you can have the prize of your life. So let's get ready, set, let's go. Last week, if you'll remember, boys to girls, boys to men and girls to ladies, we had three unwanted guests, Mr. Depression, Mr. Oppression, and Miss Suppression. Their friends were in our neighborhood, and they stopped by to tell us a story on boys to men, girls to ladies today. Their friends might have visited you before. So I pray that if they came to visit you, you kicked them out quickly, and you told them not to come back. Today's show is about to happen. Pay close attention as if your very life depended on it. So here we go. The title of our message today is called, How Do I Run This Christian Race? How do I run this Christian race? How do I keep disappointment, regret, and despair from taking over my life and holding me back from winning my race of life? Now, if you want to know, regret means a feeling of sorrow, something to feel sorry and sad about, previously done or said now, that appears wrong, mistaken, or hurtful to others, sorrow or remorse for. Regret is a negative, conscious, and emotional reaction to personal past acts and behavior. What is disappointment? Disappointment is a feeling of being let down, a feeling of sadness or frustration because something was not good or attractive or satisfactory as expected, or because something hoped for did not happen. Frustration, the failure to obtain your hopes and wishes. Despair, what is despair? Feeling of hopelessness, a profound feeling that there is no hope. Cause of hopelessness, lose hope, to feel that there is no hope. Well, we have some characters with us today. The first one is Mr. Johnson. Now, Mr. Johnson sat in his rocking chair, reflecting over his life from the time he can remember himself as a child. As far back as he can remember, he had fun sitting on his daddy's knee and being pulled in his wagon by his mommy, as he called her. As he got older, Mr. Johnson used to love running, racing. His parents would caution him about running so fast, they thought he would hurt himself. Mr. Johnson would run to the store every day and get treats for himself and his friends. All of his friends in the neighborhood, on the way home, it happened. He fell and scraped his knee on the sidewalk. His mom carefully washed the wound, put a little alcohol on it, let it dry, and then she put a bandage on it. You know how your mom did you. So his mom did him the same way. Whatever. You know, sometimes they don't put alcohol. They spray these little sprays on them. But you know what you did for yourself or for your children. One day as Mr. Johnson, Sam's mom was on her knees praying for him. She had a vision of him. She had a vision of him as a young boy running a race. She didn't tell him about the vision right then. She just told him how proud she was of him and that he was a good runner. She encouraged Sam to get on the junior high school track team. When Sam tried out for the team, he didn't make the team. He was so sad. He was very, 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 very sad that he did not make the team. And guess what? First, he met with a disappointment. Mr. Disappointment came to visit him. He felt so disappointed that he did not meet the requirements for the track team. his father and his mother sat down with him and said, Sam, how do you feel about trying out and not being chosen for the track team? At first, Sam was silent and didn't know how to put his feelings into words. And suddenly, after he thought for a few minutes, he said, I feel very disappointed that I didn't make the team. I tried so hard. I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. So his mom and dad looked at each other, and they said, oh, we see. Then they said, we thought Mr. Disappointment might come to visit you. He's an unwanted guest who come to visit all God's children at some point in their lives. We are all in the game called life, and we must all run and not grow weary as Christians. As Christians, we have a race to run, and sometimes we feel like quitting, but we must not quit. We must keep trying. If at first you don't succeed, my son, you must try and try again. Your mom and I, as Dad said, will help you practice so you will be more prepared to win the race and be on the winning team next year. We have had experiences overcoming disappointment, so we will help you overcome the pitfalls and the traps that Mr. Disappointment tried to set for you. As Sam looked back at his life, he remembered how his parents prepared him for the team. And the next year, he tried out again and made the team. Joy, 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 joy came in his heart, and he had a sense of accomplishment. His parents taught him the scripture, and the scripture is found in, and it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's found in the New Testament. And so the scripture, they taught him, and he started memorizing the scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So every time Sam felt like a little Mr. Disappointment was trying to visit him, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he remembers when he was taught that scripture taught it to his own son and his two daughters later on in life. When life got hard for Sam, as he grew up, he would say out loud or even silently, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sam was so glad that his parents taught him that scripture and helped him to prepare to be on his junior high track team. First thing his parents taught him was how to eat. Along with eating healthy, they taught him how to study God's word so that he would grow spiritually as well as physically. So Sam practiced memorizing the scriptures. So when he needed them, he could remember them. He practiced running 3 miles a day. And as he ran the track daily, the practice, he met Mr. Despair. Now, Mr. Disappointment. Now, as he was running the race, he met Mr. Despair. Mr. Despair came in the form of different people he met when he was jogging. They would tease him, bully him, and say discouraging things to him. One day, Sam was feeling like he should quit. The Despair people talked so bad about him, they would tell him, you should quit. They would tell him, you should quit. They tell him over and over, you should quit. You do not have what it takes to be a runner. You will never make the team. You can try and try all you want, but you will never make the team. You're not smart enough, Sam. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough to win. Go home, Sam, Mr. Despair would tell him. You can't compete with these big, strong guys, they told you. Well, so Sam went home. He didn't tell his parents that he met Mr. Despair and Mr. Despair's friend, but they knew something was wrong. Sam picked over his food at dinner and snapped at his brother and sister when they laughed and joked with him. Later, Sam finished helping his family clean up the kitchen, and his parents sat down to talk with him. And they said, "What's troubling you, Sam?" "I don't know," he said. They looked at each other, and they said, "Sam, it's time you got to know Jesus as your personal Savior." So they took Sam, they took out their Bible, and Sam got his Bible, and he turned to it. And he said, and they told him, they said, "Now, Sam, you know, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, you will be saved." So Sam was saved that day after all they read it together. Then they told Sam that Jesus died for him to be saved from his wrongdoings, his sin. Then they took him to Romans 12, and they told him, "Jesus wants you to give your whole self, your whole body to him, soul, body, soul, and spirit." Then they took him to Galatians 5. So we're going to look at Galatians 5 today and see where they took Sam. Galatians 5, and see where they took Sam. So I'm turning right now in my Bible. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So here we go. Galatians 5 says, "Let me explain further. Live your life as a spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. And what your spiritual nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. They are opposed to each other. As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. If your spiritual nature is your guide, you are not subject to Moses' law. Now, the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious: illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry, drug use, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, angry outbursts, selfish ambition, conflict, factions, envy, drunkenness, parties, wild parties, and anything like that. I told you in the past, and I'm telling you again, that people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like that. Those who belong to Christ have crucified their corrupt nature along with its passions. If we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. We can't allow ourselves to act arrogantly and to provoke or envy one another. So that was taken from Galatians 5. So you can read that whole chapter later if you choose to. So next they said, let's read Matthew. So they said, let's read the fourth chapter of Matthew. So they turned to the fourth chapter of Matthew, and Sam followed along with his parents as they were reading. And it was the temptation of Jesus. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus said, "Do not eat anything for 40 days. Jesus did not eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said," now don't you know the tempter come to all of us, but the tempter came to Jesus, the Son of God. Wasn't he bold? "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered and said, "It is written, a person cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest part of the temple. He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, jump. If you are the Son of God, jump." The scripture says, he says, it is written, "He will put his angels in charge of you. He will carry you in their hands so that you will never hit your foot against a rock." They will carry you in their hands so you will not hit your foot against the rock. And Jesus said to him again, the scripture says, he said, it is written, "Never tempt the Lord your God." So that's what they read with their son Sam, that even Jesus was tempted, but he did not fall. So they're telling his son to be strengthened. Now, when the devil comes to tempt you, they said, you tell him, you can't do this or that. I'm sorry, when the devil comes to you to tempt you, to tell you, you can't do this or that, or to try to provoke you, to cause you to sin, you will know how to resist him like Jesus did, and he will flee from you. You can tell him, it is written, Sam. Now, Sam, you are born again. Now, let's go to Proverbs 1. And in Proverbs 1, remember we studied that a few months ago? That was where Solomon was teaching his son. He taught his son the word of God and how to avoid temptation. And so in Proverbs chapter 1, he said, I'm going to start at verse, let me see, I'm looking for it. Hold on one second, please. He said, "My son, a wise person will listen and continue to learn, but a gullible person has no insight." So he says, follow after righteousness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Stubborn fools despise wisdom and discipline. My son, listen to your father's discipline and do not neglect your mother's teaching, because discipline and teaching are a graceful garland on your head and a golden chain around your neck. My son, if sinners lure you, do not go alone. If they say, come with us, let us set an ambush to kill someone. Let's hide and ambush innocent people for fun. We'll swallow them alive like the grave, like those in good health who go into the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable possessions. We'll fill our homes with stolen goods. Join us. We'll split the loot equally. My son, Solomon said to his son, do not follow them in their way. Do not even set your foot on their path, because they rush to do evil and hurry to shed blood. It is no good to spread a net within the sight of any bird. But the people set an ambush for their own selves. So, my son, I want you to remember your mother and my instructions to you. So, Solomon taught his son, and when Sam, had children, he and his wife sat down and they taught their children the way of God according to Proverbs as well. Well, as you probably already know, Sam later met Miss Regret. So Miss Regret, one day after Sam had completed college, he met Miss Regret. Oh, did I tell you Sam got many scholarships to complete college? He graduated magna cum laude in his class. Sam went out with his family first to celebrate his graduation. Then later his friends had invited him to let's go and have fun and celebrate our completing college. When Sam went to meet his friend, he had his brand new car that his parents had gotten him after he completed college. His car was a dream come true. Sam always wanted to own his own shiny new car. It was red, bright red, and had a new smell. What a great surprise. Well, Sam met his friends at the real nice restaurant. I mean, it was a very, very nice restaurant. And what they didn't tell him was that they had picked out a nice girl for him to meet. When they introduced Sam to Miss Regret, he thought to himself, she is so beautiful. Sam was dressed nice. She was dressed nice. The young woman that they had for Sam to meet, she was dressed nice. Her lips looked shiny, like that woman in Proverbs that Solomon told his son about, and she smelled so good. She seemed to be kind of shy and reserved at first. After his second or third date with Sam, she tried to tempt him with marijuana. She said, "What's wrong with you? Are you a mama's baby? Try it and you'll like it." Sam, remember what he read in Proverbs? What Solomon taught his son about women that could lead him to destruction. So he firmly said, "No," and she got up and left. Sam was disappointed and in deep despair that Miss Regret turned out to be the wrong person for him. But Sam sat in his rocking chair. As he sat there, he was not disappointed or in despair, nor did he have a lot of regrets as he looked back over his life, because he remembered what his parents had taught him, and he obeyed them even when they were not with him. So as Sam thought about his life and the race of life, he was very happy at the choices he had made through Christ's help. He was strong. About a month after Sam let go of his despair, he met the love of his life, and they have been together over 40 years. Sam thanks God every day as he remembers Joshua 1:8. So we're going to read Joshua 1:8. So hold on just a second while I find Joshua 1:8. You know, it says, "Let this book of the law not depart from our mouth. Meditate on it day and night." But hang on, I'm going to read it straight from the word. Joshua 1:8. Joshua. I'm in Joshua, the book of Joshua. Here it is, right here. I'm going to back up something. It says Joshua 1:6. He said, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou devise for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest." Now here's verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then," listen to this part, "for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So we do what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we'll have good success. So Sam had much success and prosperity in life. He also remembered that Christ's life is a race that we must all run. So he started to think about the race of life. And Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, I'm going to turn there. Give me about a second or two to find Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes 9:24. I'm sorry, 9:11. It says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all, I'm sorry, that's 10. Do it with all thy might, that there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet the bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now that was Ecclesiastes 9:11. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it says, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. What you going to obtain? A prize. Woo! Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Remember, we're in a race. We're in that Christian race. So we're running that race today, and we're depending on the Lord Jesus to strengthen us through that race. So now, here's some other scriptures on running a race, and I'm going to read them to you. You know, we are athletes in the spirit. We are running a race, and the Word of God says, don't grow weary in our race. We're doing good. We got to keep pressing forward. Now, remember, it's not given to those who run the fastest, but those who continue and get through the finish line. So we don't have to run fast. We can just run at the pace that God is leading us to go. All right, this is the Christian life compared to a foot race. Striving for the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24 is what I read to you a little earlier. This one's hindrance to the runner. Galatians 5:7. You did well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? All right, pressing toward the goal. We all got to press toward the goal. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Stripping for the contest. Hebrews 12:1. I just read that to you a few minutes ago. We're going to skip that one. The home stretch. Timothy 4:7. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The prize won. Here's the prize. Here's the prize. We can all win the prize now. God has had that. He has that prize for us, so we just wait on him and keep steady running the race. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get caught. This there's the traps of the enemy. Don't give up. The prize won. 2 Timothy 4:8. And it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. Isn't that great? God has a prize for all of us at the finish line, but we got to finish. We cannot let, you know, discouragement come. We cannot let regret, despair, disappointment take us over. We got to stay in the race. No matter what it takes, remember the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I want you to know that I'm in the race. I pray that you're in the race, that we're on the racetrack together. You know that racetrack. I don't know about you, but I live near a racetrack when I was in junior high school. And, boy, we used to have to run on that racetrack. But, you know, if you were you know, stayed up too late, you didn't eat properly, you didn't get enough rest, you couldn't run. You could start off, but you couldn't keep to the finish line. So, you know, we got to eat healthy. We got to stay in the presence of God. We got to ask him for his strength. We have to call on him as never before. We cannot run the race by ourselves. We have to depend upon God, like Sam did. Did you notice Samuel's parents were there supporting him? Are you supporting your children? Are you supporting the neighborhood children? Are you supporting the children of the world? How are you supporting them? You know, we could support them by encouraging them. We could say, you're going to make it. You're going to do it. You know, many children have many struggles, even in their own home. They have struggles that they face on a daily basis. The children of today, they are facing so many struggles. You know, they're facing struggle after struggle, day after day. But we have to encourage the children when we see them. We should say, you're going to be all right. We can say, you're going to be all right, baby. Just keep on pressing on. Finish high school. Finish college. Encourage them. And, you know, the one thing that I hear a lot of people say, finish school, baby. And as soon as they finish college, they'll tell them, yeah, now you think you're too good, huh? You think you're better than me because you got a college degree. That is so awful. We should be, you know, grateful that they went on and completed school. We should not discourage them. We should be telling them how proud we are of them that they could do it. And I remember I met people along the way when I was in college that encouraged me. And I went to college in Texas. And they would send me $5 or $10. My aunt used to send me care packages with, you know, all kind of little, you know, tuna fish and little candy and little crackers and all kind of little stuff. You know, we can encourage our children. Don't put them in despair. You know, the enemy tries to discourage them. So we don't want to be a discouragement to them. We want to encourage them. We want to keep telling them, keep on pressing on. Keep on pressing on. You're going to make it. And, you know, we need somebody in our lives like that as grown people. We need somebody to tell us, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Keep on pressing on. Keep on pressing on. You're going to make it. Well, it is sharing time right now. If anyone has anything they want to share, you can share about maybe something about how on your road, on your race, maybe you met up with regret, disappointment, or despair. So press 1 if you want to share something about how you met up with them and how God helped you to handle despair, disappointment, and regret. So press 1 if you want to share. Whoa, everybody quiet today. What's wrong? Come on, y'all, press 1. Brother David, I know you got some testimony to share about regret, disappointment, discouragement. Press 1. All right, nobody don't want to share today. Okay. Oh, okay, there you go, Brother David. I knew you could share something. You always have some great testimony. Good evening, Brother David.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I know you are, too.
Amen. Amen. I can't, but to be honest, I know I got a story, but I don't have one on the top of my head, but I got something currently that's going on, and well, I guess, yeah, I can make it in. It is a regret and despair, and I'd be quick. But the guy, Maurice, that I started cycling with, I know you remember me telling stories about me cycling a while back and not wearing the proper clothing and not having the right bike and the lessons that I learned. Well, yeah. The guy that took the time to show me cycling passed away. He's in his mid-40s. And we would ride every Friday after we got off from work. It's a 30-mile bike trail we would ride. And every Sunday morning at 6 a.m., we would get up also and ride that trail as well. We did that for about 3 months straight. And I would regret, well, we had a kind of good relationship while we was riding, but, you know, we kind of ran into some indifferences with ideology and thinking, you know, because I'm always that person that's going to move forward, and I'm inspiring to the next thing, and I'm, you know, once I set my mind on doing something, I just do it, whether, you know, if people agree with it or not. So sometimes, you know, that's not a good thing, because a lot of people like to stay right where they at, and they think that's it to life. And, you know, I see things different. And, for example, I was sitting in my driveway today and looking around my surroundings. Now, if you knew where I come from and what little I had growing up and throughout the years, you would say, man, you didn't achieve a whole lot. But, you know, even looking out today at the things that God allows me to enjoy, inside I still hear God saying, more, more, there's more. I got the whole world for you. This, you ain't even seen nothing yet. If you keep doing what you're supposed to do, if you discipline yourself, if you honor me and put me before man, I would give this whole world to you. That's what I hear him saying to me. And so, you know, I just say, I look back over the last 19 years of my life, and do you know I had no idea that God would bless me so much. And the day when I stand up to man and tell him, no, you can't peer pressure me. No, I don't care how I look in front of you or any other man. No, I'm not embarrassed. I stand for God. I live for God. God is my creator, and he loves me, and you will not have victory over me. The more I do that, the more God opens up to me spiritually. And it's just a phenomenal thing once you grow into the knowledge of the love of God and you commit yourself to him. It's just amazing what he will open up to you spiritually. And you got to constantly go through these tests. I mean, we don't like the way they feel. Oh, this one's supposed to be despair. I forgot. But I'm filled with testimony because I consider myself like a spiritual pinata. The more they beat me, the more blessings and good things don't fall out, just like candy. Because they love to beat me, and I'm just going to keep dropping candy out. But I don't know if that was – the only despair is that I didn't turn my life over to Christ sooner than I did. I'm happy that I did when I did it. But Lord knows, and you know how they ask you if you could go back and change one thing? I would have been on fire for the Lord a long time ago, ago.
Not only you, all of us have that going on.
So, well, praise the Lord.
If only
praise
I knew
Lord.
What I knew.
Amen. Well, God rest his soul. You know, I know he's riding for the Lord right now. You know, we pray that he's riding for the Lord right now. They got a picture of him on his bicycle. But then, you know, everybody's in an uproar around the job, and they tell me, they say, you're supposed to be out winning souls right now. Are you using this time to be out winning souls? And, you know, a lot of people wait for death and destruction. And go to God now. You know somebody created you. You don't have to wait for a major catastrophe. You don't have to wait, and we may just be preaching to the choir, because I guess most people on here know what they're supposed to do. But, you know, I automatically assume that a lot of people know about God and they know what to do. They just choose not to do it. So, you know, I don't get all in an uproar and stuff like that, and I do my best. I hope people can see my life and see that being obedient to God will just shower you with blessings. So, I mean, that's the angle I want to take on it. But thanks for listening.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Well, Miss Liddell, she's in Appleton, Georgia. How you doing, Miss Liddell?
I'm doing.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
All right. Well, yes. Like I tell you, Miss Liddell is 90. You 91 plus now, huh?
Yes, I am.
I know you. You met despair, regret, and disappointment on the roads of life, but you're an overcomer. I thank God that you're an overcomer, Miss Liddell.
Some of it, not exactly.
Yeah.
I like to get straight to this gentleman that, you know, the thing that he said about life, you know, how we was once and how God blessed us to get where we are right now. I was talking to a friend today, and we was talking about how we used to have to get up early in the morning and go outdoors and go down the hill in the country and get wood to start a fire, and we had no lights, you know that. But, you know, now God blessed us tremendously, and he continued blessing me personally, and I know he's blessing others because, you see, he didn't have no distinction between nobody. He loved everybody. He blessed everybody. So I just give strength that how he brought me and how he kept me through a lot of things that I've been through with in life, you know. But he still helped me in all his hands. And right now I'm still thanking him for 91 years, you know, and continuously praying for you, Carica, to get the job that you are doing, that you are able to reach out around 400 or 500 miles from you right now. That's where I'm standing. But I'm glad that God, some way through man, you know, fixed the telephone, that we all can be reached by God through man, you know, and that's what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
Is tell the good news wherever we go, you know, let it spread over the air and everywhere. You know, it's just amazing the things that are happening now in the world that 50 years ago I didn't think it was happening. I know you didn't think so either. But I guess that about all.
Amen, amen. Well, I thank God for those two testimonies. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Press one. All right, well, it's close to time today. As you probably can tell, I've been a little stopped up, but God is able. He's strengthening my body. I'm healed by his stripes.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not going to say another prayer. Except, mm-hmm. Father God, bless everyone who came on today. We honor mm-hmm. your presence, Lord God. And, Father God, walk with us today. Talk with us. Yeah. Be a lamp and a light to our pathway.
Yeah.
And we'll say, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart
our
be acceptable
heart,
with thy sight, O Lord.
O Lord, our strength
and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you all. I'll speak with you all Saturday. 9 a.m. It's Saturday, 9 a.m., same number, 1619-789-4313. Saturday, 9 a.m. will be Joyful Praise Day. So I look forward to speaking with you and sharing with you and you speaking with us. Have a blessed
night. That's a long time, sir.
Remember, God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Have a God-filled evening. A God-filled week, God-filled month, a God-filled year. And don't forget, remember the first commandment, do it. Remember the second commandment, and do that one also.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless you. I love you. God loves you even more. Be encouraged. Love y'all.
Love you.